Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Kristen and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 157 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stufko.
What's up, Tristan? What's up, everybody? Vision Board Podcast 157. Who we got?
Man, we got Tony Gaskins. And, you know, Tony's someone doing something a little bit differently. Like, he's a great speaker. And just in research, what we do is that, you know, you check out a lot of what they're doing. And some of the tweets that he's getting from guys like Damian Lillard and who else do we have? We had the guy Harrison Barnes. He also did it as well.
Yeah.
Makes you notice, you know. You know, it's hard to get an athlete to do that sort of thing.
But, you know, we've seen him on Oprah. We've seen him on the Tyra Banks show.
Banks.
The guy has 40 streams of income. And what is he, 36?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone to pay attention to. And my biggest reason, you know, wanting to sit down with him is you can tell that he's a kind guy.
Mm.
He's not this dude that's on Instagram flossing the money like that.
Yeah, he's got a great tone to his voice and all the stuff that I've seen. And yeah, I think you're right. He's a very kind guy. He's kind enough to give us 45 minutes of his time, and I think he's going to give you some great perspectives, not only just on business, but I think more life. I think we're going to get out of this one. So
that's right. You say I'm a quote guy. Wait till you listen to this episode. Tony's full of them.
Absolutely, man. But I think we'll get some great resources. Before we get him on, a big shout out to everyone that's tuned into the show, leaving us 5-star reviews on iTunes and sharing the love on social media.
We love that stuff, guys. We have been growing this thing organically going on 18 months. The best way we could continue this process, share it with your friends, subscribe iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, leave us those reviews, and hit myself and hit Tristan up, man. We love the feedback.
Definitely. But without further ado, here is Tony Gaskins. All right, guys, our special guest is Tony Gaskins. Tony is an author, celebrity life coach, and international speaker. He built his brand from scratch starting at age 22, and his impressive resume includes guest appearances on Oprah and Tyra Banks. In 2015, he became the first life coach in history to be on salary with an NBA team. We welcome the incredible Tony Gaskins. Tony, welcome to the Vision Board Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Tony, Tristan and I, we really appreciate you stopping by. I really want to start with when your intent with understanding or knowing that you had it in you to impact so many people, and then from there to take action on that. Because more often than not, I feel we hold ourselves back with just the thought and never taking action.
You know, I kind of had like a blind faith, and I guess I was ignorant to a certain degree, and that benefited me because I didn't know how hard it is to impact millions of people. And so I just started doing it and not really knowing how it would happen, when it would happen, but just kind of putting one foot in front of the other, seeing what options were available to me. So I found Facebook, I found MySpace, I found Twitter. And I just started learning the different outlets and how to use my voice in those spaces, and just doing it every day consistently. It just started to grow and grow and grow, and it grew organically. I mean, it knocked my socks off early.
Mm. Tony, you're one of those guys, like literally from the start, you haven't had any help at all.
None at all. I mean, I guess I don't know if it's an issue with myself, or I don't know if it's my background, just not being able to trust.
Mm.
I'm not sure what it is. You know, I really don't put a lot of trust in humans. I like to learn how to do everything that I'm doing. And I mean, I'm struggling right now with a site that I created, and it's new for me. Like they say, if you're the smartest person in the room, then you're in the wrong room.
Yeah.
Or in the wrong circle. Well, I ventured out, got into the tech space, created an online website, and with all my courses, had a company build it for me, paid them $14,000 to build it, and 2 months later, they go out of business and say, that I got to shut down my site because they're going out of business and the software I use will be out of business. Oh, and Jesus. So I'm like, man, the first time I depend on somebody else, they let me down after 2 months. And then they say, well, we can have it built for you and it can, you know, we could build it as a stack and put it on your own hosting, your own server. But that's going to cost you an additional $4,000. And so I pay that $4,000. So now I pay $18,000. And then 2 months after paying that other $18,000, the site crashes. Wow. And I write them and they're nowhere to be found, won't respond. And I'm like, man, this is, you know, some of the things that happen when you're in the room with people smarter than you.
Interesting. Through that experience, Tony, is there, I know it's new still and hindsight's 2020. Do you feel anything intrinsically that you're able to take that's definitely a positive from that in terms of like moving forward when you look back on that 18 grand spent? Is it like with resentment or is it like with knowledge?
It's more so knowledge. You know, I saw a quote a long time ago and I don't know, I can't remember the author's name, but it said, it's not a loss if you learn from it. And at that time, I had never seen that quote, but my page, my Twitter was very, very viral. And it was almost everything I tweeted reached millions. Mm-hmm. And so now I see different versions of that quote everywhere. Like, I don't lose, I win or I learn.
Yeah.
And so, but I bumped into that like maybe 2010. And so I've always had that mindset as I've been building. And so now I'm more so of the mindset of learn a little bit of everything. So no matter what you do, have some knowledge in that space so that you can at least speak the language, you know, of a child in that space. So you have some understanding. I mean, I can communicate with my 3-year-old and we pretty much can understand each other. He can understand what I want from him and what I need from him. And I understand what he wants from me. And he's 3 years old. So my thing is I need to be able to talk, you know, maybe like a 6-year-old in any arena that I go into. So that I have at least some knowledge of what I'm dealing with. And so that's the lesson. And fortunately, I met a guy who, you know, his company teaches you how to code and how to build apps and all that stuff. And he's giving me the course for free. And so I'm going to learn some of the lingo and, you know, get the site back up. It could just be a simple server issue.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring it up because I've heard a couple of good guys. And the way I write as well, I try to write to speak to a 5-year-old to make it so easy that people can understand something that's quite, you know, complicated. Is that sort of the same approach that you take?
That is. And everything I do, I live by that Albert Einstein quote that says, make it as simple as possible, but not one bit simpler. So in my business, in my online courses, when I tour around the world, I make it so simple that I can do it alone and that I can do it until the day I die. And you know, it takes care of me. You know, it feeds me.
Tony, when we look back on our lives, I like to look at like our body of work as like a timeline. And reading your bio and following you for a while, you know, you have these moments, and you're still young, man. You have these moments, Oprah, Tyra, you know, your work with the NBA, your own show. Where do you have a specific moment though when you look back in that space when it was happening to you? You told yourself, "Wow." I'm finally here, or I never thought I'd be in this moment, and we're kind of starstruck sort of thing?
You know, I think that's something that I probably need to do more is kind of be in the moment and kind of feel it. But when I look back, sometimes it feels like I haven't done anything, and I think that's because of how big my vision is going forward. So I feel like I've probably done at the most 10% of what my vision is. But when I have to sit down and write it out, you know, what I've done, I'm like, man, you know, I've been fortunate to do some things that, you know, some people may not get to do in a lifetime. Yeah. And for me, the biggest thing was when I was hired by an NBA team, which the contract said that I couldn't even talk about, you know, or mention the team in conversation with friends. And, I guess they just didn't want any negative press or just anybody in their business or seeing that they were ahead of the curve. But I mean, with me going around the country with them and other players seeing me that I know, and other people seeing me in the arenas, I mean, it just kind of naturally came out.
Yeah.
But that was a moment that, you know, I was starstruck. I mean, that was insane to me. You know, just being in the locker room with, you know, these superstars and being there before the game, at halftime, after the game, you know, on the private plane with them, and just seeing their lifestyle up close and personal when, you know, being a former athlete and dreaming about playing in the NBA or the NFL, that was, I'd say, like the coolest experience ever. But I also learned the lesson is that sometimes what you think you want isn't what you need. And that was deep for me because I signed a 3-year deal, but after halfway through the season, I was already trying to resign. And the reason being is because I didn't want to move to that city. And then secondly, I was away from my family way too much. Yeah. And I realized that I created my life in a way that I could earn a great living, reach millions of people, and have time for my family. But with that job, I gave them 80% of my time, and it was only 10% of my overall income.
Wow. Tony, you mentioned you reached only 10% of your vision. Do you mind sharing with us what your vision is?
To be honest with you, I always tell people, if you can see every corner of your vision, then it's too small. And so you should have to walk by faith. Your vision should get clearer with every step that you take. So at this point, what I can see is an Oprah-level influence with multiple businesses, anywhere from 50 up to about 50 businesses. I have 40 streams of income now. So I will continue to add those streams. And I count a stream just like you count a house in real estate as a stream of income. All of my streams, every book is a stream of income. So I have 16 books. Every online course is a stream of income. I have 11 courses. So I'll continue to add streams of income, which for me, I mean, we call it a stream of income, but for me, it's another way to reach my goal. And, you know, that is to reach at least 1 billion people. And I say 1 billion people, according to what Facebook shows me, I've already reached 1 billion people according to Facebook insights, but I want to do it in a more real way, to where it's not just quote floating across their page, but it's an actual message that they hear. So I guess if I had to put it into words, I would be a combination of Oprah, Steve Harvey, Dr. Phil, Tyler Perry, Joel Osteen, and T.D. Jakes. So if they all had a child, it would be me.
that's a great vision, Tony. I'm reading this book on. he also did it in a movie. It was called Restrepo. But the intent of the book is about a depression that we have as men when we're detached from a community. And he was in the book was about these soldiers who were coming back from this war torn place overseas and missing it. And he wrapped that up with the reasoning is the psychological phenomenon in our society in America that it lacks a rite of passage. And I know that you do a lot of work with development of men and issues that Tris and I talk about a lot, you know, societal issues that go on. It seems to me that we're lacking in our development, maybe in a certain age. Is this something that you're able to identify in America? And is this something that you target?
Yes, it is. I mean, for me, I always say that a man's rite of passage is to love a woman purely. And what I mean by that is until you learn how to treat another person, your intimate partner, without lying, cheating, deceiving, manipulating, abusing, then you're not a man. You can make $1 billion. You can raise 10 Ivy League kids. You can own 1 million companies. Your name could be known around the world. But until you can take care of home, until you can love your partner unconditionally, lead with a servant's heart, lead with gentleness, allow gentleness to be your strength, then you're not a man. And so for me, that was my rite of passage. And that's something that I feel like as men, we struggle with, yeah. you know, loving. We struggle with gentleness. We struggle with love. We struggle with communicating effectively without being abusive or controlling. Mm. We struggle with leading with a servant's heart. And so that's what I see is men pursuing the wrong type of success. Mm. So we're pursuing monetary success. We're pursuing social status, economic success, but we're leaving the home. You know, we're not taking care of home. And I saw a quote online yesterday from Mother Teresa that says, if you want to change the world, then go home and love your family. And that was powerful to me. And that's a part of, you know, my movement and even just my personal growth is just every day trying to be a better husband and a better father.
And how would we be able to equate that to a room full of like 14-year-old boys? Like, what would the advice be to them? You know, because when I was 14, those are those awkward years. You said that we have to lead, you know, our aggression being with tenderness. And it's almost like that we're brought up. It's like, you know, I grew up in a town that wasn't very safe. And it was almost like a defense mechanism to put a wall up. And people would need to earn your respect to show that sort of love. And then I think this has a carryover effect. The older we get, we become more conditioned to love less rather than love more. Do you feel that there's any way that maybe a system or like education that could be in place for that room full of 14-year-olds?
I do believe it. But I feel that, like one of my friends said, he said, I have holes in my socks. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, you can't see my problems. And I think a part of the issue is it's hard for us to teach the youth when the adults teaching the classes have holes in their socks. Mm-hmm. And so because we don't really know, it's hard for us to teach the 14-year-olds. But what I would say to the 14-year-old boys is that inside of every man is a lion and a lamb. And one lesson I learned when I was a toxic, controlling boyfriend was from my sister, who her boyfriend was a thug. And he was a real thug, meaning in the streets thug, and he was a thief. And so they would break into stores and they would steal everything out of the stores. They would rob the cash register. They would steal all the jewelry and break into cell phone stores, steal all the cell phones. And they would do this every night at different cities around the state. And they would break the glass, you know, with a spark plug, go in under the bar. Steal everything, get out before the police arrive. And she told me, she said, Tony, you know, with everything that he does, and he fights all the time with other men that get in fights in the streets over street stuff. She said, I've never seen him lose a fight, but he's never put a hand on me. He's never yelled at me. He's never cursed at me. And he's never put a hand on me. And at that point, I thought that it was a man's place to be abusive and controlling to females. And when she told me that this hardened criminal, that this thug was gentle with her, that every night they went to bed, he would lie down on his back and she would sleep on top of him, fully clothed. But that's how they slept, because they were sleeping on the couch at his mother's house, even though he was getting a lot of money. And he would lie there on his back and allow her to sleep on top of him the entire night. I've tried that and almost died of suffocation and claustrophobia. But it's taught me a lesson of the balance between the lion and the lamb. He was an untamed lion in the streets, but yet he was a lamb in his home with his mother and his woman. And I think that's what young men have to realize, is that you have to know when to be hard, when to be tough, and when to be soft, and when to be gentle. Mm. And when we start to take care of our women, our sisters, our mother, you know, our woman, and we nurture them, it makes us a better man. Because I left the streets for my wife.
Right on.
That's a great story, man. Tony, in terms of continuing that now, so, you know, you're a father, you're also a husband. In terms of continuing to build that relationship with your wife, what are some of the tools that you use now?
What I did is I realized as an entrepreneur is that we have to know what we can control and what we can't. And so I started to realize that if I put in 8 hours of dedicated work every day, that's as best that I can do. That I get the same results off of 8 dedicated hours as I do off of 16 hours with 8 dedicated and 16 kind of just floating and browsing and searching and bouncing around. And so I created a schedule in my phone because it wasn't in my nature. And every day to do something for my wife, to show her that I love and appreciate her. So on Monday, it pops up and it says run her bath water. On Tuesday, it says massage her feet. On Wednesday, it says write her a poem. On Thursday, it says get her a for nothing gift. On Friday, it says date night. So by doing this, it reminds me to show love. Because as men, we have to learn how to love. Whereas women, they were created to love. Mm. And so that's the step that I took. And then also carving out time. We plan our meetings. We plan this interview. We plan everything. But do we plan date night? Do we plan Netflix and chill night? Do we plan... You know, we have to make a plan and make her feel important. And when you do that, man, it's the greatest feeling.
Tony, I used to live in Vegas, and I went through these leadership and personal development courses for this university. And over a period of 2 years, each course was different. I know you do courses. I want to talk about breakthroughs and being in the presence of – so, like, some of the courses would be on – you know, getting out of your comfort zone by public speaking. Some would be on giving each other hugs. Some would be on taking advice from others and, you know, not being the leader, but being the, you know, the student, that sort of thing. With your courses that you've developed and all the people that you've impacted, where do you see like the biggest room for growth in terms of impact, aha moments for the masses?
It is the biggest room for growth is in self-development. And I say that for myself as well as everybody else. And I think we just don't take it seriously enough. When we ask a person, how many books have you read? What are you reading now? Or what are you listening to? What are you watching on YouTube? What's the last seminar that you've gone to? Most people just can't answer those questions. Or when they do answer it, they have a favorite fiction television show. They have a favorite fiction podcast. They have a favorite fiction book, and they're not investing in themselves. You know, they're not developing themselves. So I think the secret is in the solution, which is to go to those self-development conferences and to do the things like what you did. And I just started really getting into going to other people's conferences not long ago. And I remember I went to one, it was 3 days. And in the first hour, I had one of the biggest breakthroughs I've had in my life when it came down to my vision and naming, you know, my process and what I do and how I do it. And that cost $300 to go to, which I thought was insane because I only charged $25 for mine. So I learned something about that and it was huge. So from there, I just created a self-development schedule so that every morning I'm reading for 20 minutes. And when I drive, no music, unless it's something going on the radio, I'm listening to an audio book or a podcast, and I'm just learning. The problem with it is that sometimes you outgrow your circle. You know, you outgrow everybody around you.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
In terms of what you're, you know, you just mentioned audiobooks, podcasts. Is there anything, you know, out of the blue that you might be able to recommend us?
I don't know if it would be out of the blue. And I'm not sure how many people need it. But for me right now, my growth is based on financial freedom. And when I say financial freedom, I don't mean being rich. I mean not being a slave to material things. Yeah. Because we live in a society where the people online are promoting, you know, Lamborghinis and Bugattis and Rolls Royce and private jets and Rolexes. Now, I've had a lot of those things. And I mean, I'm sitting here looking at my Rolex sitting on my desk now. And this is, you know, it's a $15,000 watch. And I bought it when I was trapped in that mindset, you know, and I just sold my Maserati. And, you know, with all the upgrades, it was a $230,000 car. And I look back and I'm like, man, this is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, this is just really stupid that we are gaining success and then we want to define it, you know, or showcase it through material things. So the process I'm going through right now is, you know, becoming financially free and knowing, you know, the power of money and how to use it. And using money instead of it using you and not being a slave and trying to buy self-worth. You know, a lot of us struggle from it, especially those of us who come from nothing, who come from, you know, certain areas, certain upbringings. We really struggle with that, trying to buy self-worth. So that's where I'm growing at right now. I've been listening to a lot of a guy called Dave Ramsey.
Yep.
Some of his stuff is outdated. You know, some of it is just hard to swallow, but it's just been good. And then looking at other, talking to billionaires, you know, I'm talking to billionaires and multimillionaires who, you know, drive $40,000 cars instead of $300,000 cars. And, you know, wear a $100 watch instead of a $15,000 watch. And I'm hearing from people who make $100,000 a year, but yet own $500,000 in real estate and are millionaires, asset millionaires. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Off $100,000 a year and never made more than $100,000 in their life. So I'm being awakened in that area right now.
Tony, are you familiar with when LeBron James signed out of Akron St. Vincent, he signed that $90 million deal for Nike as an 18-year-old? Are you familiar with that story?
LeBron James?
Yeah.
No, I don't recall that. I didn't know.
So I grew up in Northeast Ohio, about 30 minutes from there, and it was big news in 2004. So as an 18-year-old, straight out of high school, never played one NBA game, and Nike gave him $90 million. Do you know what the first thing he did was he reached out to Warren Buffett. And since then, for the last 15 years, Warren Buffett has been LeBron's financial coach, mentor, that sort of thing. And you kind of can see it. I think that has different frequencies on how he carries himself because he reached out, asked for help, and got a coach. Is this something, have you ever, what's your opinion on coaches having coaches or the necessity of needing somebody around you to give you a second perspective to develop yourself?
I think it's everything. And I think that if you have the opportunity, then you have to have a coach. You know, sometimes there is an opportunity. A lot of times we feel like there's opportunity in every situation, and sometimes there isn't. And I've experienced it myself, you know, even with going to college. We just thought it was an opportunity for everybody, and I saw my friend go to college and had to come back home just because he maxed out on his loans and still owed more for college, still cost more than he could get in loans, and him or his mom couldn't afford it. So he had to come back home, and he was going to a small college. And I was like, man, I thought this was affordable to everybody. I thought everybody could go. I thought they would pay everything for you if you couldn't afford to go. And so I realized sometimes there is an opportunity. And myself, you know, I struggle. Like I've reached out to Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, before, and he's responded a few times. You know, I can't call on Oprah for mentorship. I can't call on TD Jakes, Tony Robbins. And those are people that I look up to, but I can't get them on the phone. You know, I can't talk to them. And anybody outside of that, it's kind of hard for me to relate to, you know. It's kind of hard for me to – I talk to my father, but he's never done what I'm doing, never seen what I've seen, going where I'm going. So some of the stuff he can't wrap his mind around, even though he's very, very wise, and I feel he's wiser than a lot of the guys I listen to online, but he just, sometimes it takes not just wisdom, but also some experience. And so, like you said, Warren Buffett, he could also offer experience to LeBron. And so if you have the opportunity to do that, then yeah. And I remember when I reached out to Gary Vaynerchuk, he said, and I said, look, man, you know, I'm looking for a mentor. You know, I got a couple, over a million followers online. This was at that point, over a million followers online. I don't like to call them followers. I call them supporters, even though less than 1% actually support.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the word followers and fans. And, you know, really looking to do some big things and, you know, done this, done that, done that. And he wrote me back and he said, Tony, man, I would love to help you. Love to be there for you. I had already read his books and everything, but it's, you know, it's kind of general stuff when you're reading books. Mm-hmm. It's not specific to your situation, so you want a mentor.
Yeah.
And he said, but I don't even have the time right now, man, to mentor my own brother. He was like, my head is down on my grind that I can't really mentor anybody. So I was like, okay, cool. Is it okay if I maybe send you one question a month, you know, by email that you answer? He said, yeah, do that. So I did it for like 3 months, but then come fourth month, you know, he's grinding. Now it gets hard to send an email, you know. So I stopped getting the responses. So I just stopped reaching out and I started, you know, doing it on my own and learning everything I could on my own. And it's just different when you have different backgrounds, you know, different people, different cultures, different races. Everybody does things differently.
Mm. And, Tony, what was it that attracted you to Gary Vee?
Just his hustle and his grind. You know, just his hustle and his grind. It's nothing that I see about anybody that I like everything about him, of course. And I'm pretty sure nobody, probably a handful of people who like everything about me. But it was his hustle and his grind and just that he was ahead of where I was. I mean, for him, I mean, his father owned a business. You know, his father was an entrepreneur. My father was never an entrepreneur. His father had a business that was worth $3 million, and he always says, I took the business from $3 million to $60 million. Well, most of us don't have a father's business to take from $3,000, you know, let alone $3 million. But it was his hustle and his grind, and just that I didn't see him as more gifted than me. I didn't see him as wiser than me. I didn't see him as more talented than me. I just saw him as someone who would have more experience and a different perspective. And sometimes I believe that your strength is in differences, not in your similarities. So I don't have a desire to reach out to Eric Thomas and Les Brown, which I know both of them, and I've spoken to both of them, but we come from the same walk of life. You know, we've seen the same things. We've done a lot of the same things, and we kind of almost speaking to some of the same people, but we have so much in common that it's a smaller amount that I can learn from them than when I listen to guys who they're completely different. They're total opposite. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong is we always look for somebody who looks just like us, talks just like us, come from where we come from, because we think that strength is in similarities when actually the strength is in differences. Mm, and so I listen to Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn.
I love Jim Rohn. Yeah.
With
the Gary Vee, Tristan, we were interviewing him a while back, and something that he said, you know, the interview went on for about 40 minutes. One thing that resonated with me, we were talking to him about points of differences and, you know, and his hustle and his grind. And he said the thing that separates him, and he said, was the love for his mother. Or the love his mother gave him. And he said that he's so compassionate to other people because he's aware that a lot of people in the world didn't get that. And that really stuck with me. And you wouldn't really think that when you see him online and his hustle, but it comes from like a compassionate place in his, you know, his grind. That always stuck with me about love is what his point of difference is.
And you know what? I will honestly say that he was telling the truth. You know, some people say stuff about themselves and they're lying. But I've reached out to people who were beneath the level of Gary, and I won't say their names, and they'll say, hey, call my manager. you know, talk to my manager first, you know, talk to my manager and they'll help you. And they'll give me their manager's phone number. And I'm like, wow, like, you know, I could actually help you too. Like, you know, I have something that you could benefit from too. But with Gary, he reminded me of myself in that sense. Like, you know, I answer all my emails. I answer my emails. I respond, and especially if it's somebody who's investing in themselves, I'm more likely to respond to people investing in themselves. And that's how, you know, he responded, and he didn't have to. And he continued to respond even when he didn't have to. And so that really, you know, showed me something. That taught me a lesson, and it confirmed what I felt. Whereas other people, they were too big for their britches early on.
Yeah, but it comes back. That's a key to relationship building, correct?
Yes, it is. It really is. And networking, and to be honest with you, people ask me, how did you get on Oprah? You know, I was pitching myself on Oprah.com just to tell my story, a portion of my story when I was a toxic, controlling boyfriend in college. And how did you become a speaker for the NBA? It was me talking to people in the DM on Twitter.
Yeah.
So whenever I would see somebody tweet my message, if I saw the same face twice, I would send them a message and say, hey, thank you so much for the support. It really means a lot. And I did that one day to a young lady, and she said, I would like to support you more. I want to connect you with my aunt. She's a health consultant for the NBA and the NFL, and I think you could benefit those young men. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's get on a phone call. We got on a call the same day. Her aunt liked me. She told the NBA Players Association about me. They called me on three-way a few weeks later and said, hey, we want you to come speak to the top 100 high school basketball players in the country, and we'll give you 20 minutes. So they brought me in. I spoke 20 minutes. A couple months later, they called me back and said, hey, we want you to speak to the 60 NBA draft picks.
Wow.
They gave me 20 minutes. I spoke 20 minutes, and they called me back for the next 6 years. And until I was hired by the NBA by a team who the GM started following me on Twitter. And he hadn't said anything to me. I hadn't heard anything from the team, but the GM started following me on Twitter, and I saw it, and I DM'd him and said, hey, thank you so much for the follow. Would love to help you guys out any way I can. I've worked with some of you guys already in the past as a mentor. He said, hey, Tony, man, we would love to have you, man. How can you help us? Let us know. A couple weeks later, he had his assistant GM call me. We talked about what I do and how I do it. Next thing you know, they were flying me out. They flew me out three times, and then they hired me.
It's an amazing story. You brought up Les Brown earlier, and you know, you said you've spoken to him a few times. It's pretty evident everyone or anyone that I read and watch, and I went through a phase of just watching his videos and his story. For the listeners at home not familiar, you know, Les was dyslexic. He really didn't start on that path until like in his 40s. And then he's standing in stadiums in Atlanta in front of 80,000 people. And it really comes down to like not quitting. Like Tris and I always have this like, we're looking for that recipe for success. And however you label success, it's going to be different, whatever you equate success to. But I'm starting to understand that it's nothing you could touch. It's nothing tangible. It's those moments where you don't quit, where everybody else around you told you to and you just keep going. How often does that happen with you now? Does that still happen? And give some advice to the listeners on the importance of grinding through it.
I mean, it's everything. And so, you know, you have to be consistent. And I just wrote a blog about that the other day. And I was talking about how as humans, we fail to be consistent. That's not a gift that we have. And when you can tap into that gift, that's when I see you as a superhuman. When you can be consistent, in my mind, you're a superhuman, because we struggle with consistency. And I got to the point to where I was tweeting every day, and I got to the point I was sending 17 tweets a day, but my tweets were quotes. So it was 17 quotes a day that I was posting. And then I rolled it over to Facebook, and then I rolled it over to Instagram. Then I went to YouTube, and I just was consistent every day. And I went from 34 people on Twitter to now over 2.8 million, all organically, never paid, never had a marketing company, never had a social media manager, never took a class on it, just consistently sharing my message every single day. When I don't feel like it, I pull a message from not feeling like it. When I'm not motivated, I pull a message or a lesson from not being motivated. and I turned it into a quote. And it got to the point that I have over 30,000 quotes online, that when I looked around and I saw quote pages, you know, 30% of their quotes on the page would be my quotes. And I knew the quotes because I wrote them from my heart. I wrote them from my pain. I wrote them from my process. I wrote them from my purpose. The quote that went, the one went viral and crossed over into another market for me was, if you don't build your dream, someone will hire you to help build theirs.
Yeah, man.
Well, yeah. Well, when I first wrote that quote in 2011, I wrote it in broken English because I'm country, you know, from the South. We speak Ebonics, bad education system. And I wrote it, if you won't build your dream, someone will hire you to help them build theirs. So I had them in there. I had theirs in there. I had all these words in there. And somebody who speaks proper English took it and reworded it and posted it. And it went viral. I mean, it reached over 100 countries. I would venture to say 400 countries. And people from all over the world started writing me. And then there was a couple other speakers who they tweeted it and people attributed to them. One guy, he passed away, an Indian guy. But then one of my Indian colleagues told me that his sons run his company and probably just felt like the quote, you know, that he embodied that quote. So they probably attached it to his name. My partner bought his book just to make sure that it wasn't in the guy's book. People thought it was Steve Jobs' quote. They thought it was everybody. Somebody told me it was written in an article in 1981. That was before I was born. So I never read it anywhere. I'm pretty sure all entrepreneurs have said something to the likes of it. But because I was writing my heart every day, and so you see these quotes like, you can't cheat the grind, because it knows what you've invested and it will only give you what you've put in. There was another one of my quotes that I started to see on T-shirts, started to see everywhere. And people, was a big speaker. I mean, guy got over probably 5 million followers online. He tweeted a quote and it said, you can't expect people to understand your grind when God didn't give them your vision. And that's my quote. And I had posted it. I wrote it and posted it. And all my quotes I write in about 30 seconds because I'm writing from the heart. And I posted it and the young lady said, oh, that's, you're plagiarizing. That's such and such quote. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. When you've been so consistent that you are being accused of plagiarizing your own work. And so I say that to say,
there's a quote right there. You just gave us another one.
Wow. I didn't even hear what I said. You said, and that's the problem with my quotes too.
Yeah. You said when you, you know, when you're so consistent, you get accused of plagiarizing your own work.
Wow. I'm going to have to use that. Use it.
That's awesome.
You better beat Johnny. He's already tweeting it.
Yeah, no, you're great.
All right, Tony, unfortunately, we're nearly at the end, so we're going to hit the personality part of the interview. Johnny's got the first question.
Yeah, Tony, so advice to our listeners. We hear a lot about good days, and you mentioned earlier people flashing their Lamborghinis and et cetera. We like talking about bad days and advice to overcome those moments. What would you tell our listeners?
I would say, the worse that it gets, the more you need to smile. And people should never be able to tell what you're going through. So the worse it gets, the more you need to smile. And that's what I'm living through. You know, that's what I'm living. If it gets bad, I get better. And if you can keep that mindset, eventually that mindset will change your situation. And I've lived it over and over. I didn't believe in it. But I lived it over and over, and I tested it, and I tried it, and I found that it was true. But if you give up, if you get down, if you get depressed, if you start speaking negativity, then that's exactly what you will continue to attract. But I guarantee if you're positive, if you keep smiling, if you keep believing, if you keep pressing, it's going to turn around every time. Mm.
Tony, I'm going to take you back to your childhood. What poster did you have on your childhood bedroom wall growing up?
I honestly can't remember. I feel like if I had something, it probably was Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I can't remember. And I don't know what it was, but I love sports, and so I would have sports posters, you know, my favorite players. But mostly then I would watch Michael Jordan every day, and now and Barry Sanders and Walter Payton. I played basketball and football, so that's it. I really wasn't a music person. I wasn't into music, but sports. I wanted to be an NBA player or NFL player.
Excellent. And Tony Gaskins, if three of your closest friends were sitting at a table and you weren't at the table, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
I really don't know. I couldn't tell you. You know, I read a quote one time that said, "We don't have the gift to see ourselves through the eyes of others." And for being a life coach, I can say that's true, because I've coached quote unquote best friends, and some of the worst things were said about best friends. So, I honestly couldn't tell you, but I would hope they would say, "Man, Tony really works hard, and he's hard, but he's fair. He's a tough guy. He's trying to be huge, but he's still humble, as if nobody knows his name." And my security guard, who he's really my homeboy, who he wants to do security, he always tells people, he said, no matter where we at, he signs every book, he takes every picture. And we stood one time for 400 people, and we stood there, and he had to stay there until every person had taken a picture or had their book signed. And that's when I was in Johannesburg, South Africa, and we probably stood, felt like 4 hours, 5 hours taking pictures. But that's the legacy I want to leave, that, you know, I was hard, but I was humble.
Okay, Tony, final question. You're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got 5 invites. Now, only rules, no family or friends, but it can be anyone, dead or alive. Who would you like to invite?
I would invite Zig Ziglar. I would invite Jesus Christ. I don't know who else I would invite, to be honest with you, because when I changed my life, it was the only two people I listened to, Jesus Christ and Zig Ziglar.
You can keep it intimate, man.
Yeah, excellent. Tony, we really appreciate you stopping by. And, man, this was an awesome opportunity to talk with you. You gave us so much. Even in that last bit, you left us with a quote, "If it gets bad, I get better." That's so powerful, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, before we let you go, Tony, everyone, we want make sure you follow Tony online. You can catch him at www.tonygaskins.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. He's at Tony Gaskins. Tony, we'll have to do this again, man. I've got a whole heap of questions still to ask you, man, but unfortunately we've run out of time, but you've been brilliant, so thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Johnny, great episode with Tony Gaskins, man.
Yeah, another one of these ones to where we have to kind of like sit back, listen to it again, reevaluate how much he gave us.
Oh, absolutely, man. I think that's when you have to listen to it again. I think that's when the wonderful stuff starts happening, man, because sometimes in 45 minutes, it just there's so much to consume in one sitting that, yeah, that's something I do recommend. People just start making little notes about what they loved. And
I got caught doing that. You had to tap me a few times because, guys, I apologize. It happens a lot less often now. But he's saying so much, I'm writing it down. Tristan's like, dude, it's going to come up on the audio. But the quotes, man, and I'm a quote guy. You know, you're laughing over there.
You love the quotes.
I love the quotes, man. He goes, "If it gets bad, I get better." I mean, it's simple. Those are like 3-4-letter words. But, you know, sometimes it takes somebody to simplify or consolidate ideas that we all have to speak to the masses. Mm. Tony does that really well.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, he's got some great perspectives on coaching, why you need coaching, and himself. Like, you know, at the start, you know, we asked him about, you know, him doing a lot of things by himself. And, you know, well, that's probably, he admitted it himself. It's one of his own issues, that the fact that he doesn't have a lot of trust in people doing things the way he likes them. And in terms of letting people in, and I've probably got the same sort of issues as well. I don't like a lot of people doing a lot of things because I don't feel that they can do it as well as I can.
I heard that. But it comes down to, it could be a trust thing, but also one of these things that allows you to evolve and allows Tony in the way that you want, because not everyone is going to see your vision the way you see it. And that's important to you, and that's important to Tony, to allow maybe put a little bit more work on their plate, your plate, to continue in the path that you feel. You have a good inclination of your intuition. You know what it feels like to want to keep progressing, and nobody's going to tell you how to do something that you feel.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a control thing. Maybe that's just you being super in tune. It's probably good for you, Tristan, to hear from Tony's perspective. You guys are very similar in that area.
Yeah, I think he reinforces the fact that you need to think big.
Right.
There's no use hitting a small ball. What's the use of bunting when you can hit a home run? But
Oakland A's, 2003.
Yeah, but to hit the home run, there has to be little steps along the way. And I think he embraces that, and I like doing that as well. Do you know what I mean? There's a path, and there's like little things that you need to hit before you can hit the goal. But, you know, I always recommend people have that huge goal. There's no harm having it there. At least you're shooting for something big.
For sure. You're playing big, and I like his insights on like the Gary Vee thing, his story he shared, and gave me a different perspective when he talks about, you know, he outlined Les Brown, he outlined Eric Thomas, and he said, those guys grew up in the same neighborhoods I grew up in. Nothing against them. I like what they're doing, but I'm not going to listen or follow them because I need a different perspective. And then he dropped Gary Vaynerchuk on us, and I'm like, wow, like in that moment, we looked at each other like, very true. You need that different perspective. Some people say like you have to flock towards like-mindedness, but it doesn't necessarily mean on paper. Like-mindedness in terms of the pursuit of your potential, but not necessarily what you see in the mirror, sort of thing.
But I think that story brought up with Gary Vee and Gary not being able to help him because he can't even help his own brother. I think that comes...
AJ, he told us that, didn't he?
Yeah, but a year ago. I think that's something that's very solid in terms of sometimes you have to say no to people. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we get caught up saying yes to everyone that we don't have enough time to help ourselves. It's like being on a plane and, you know, unfortunately when you're sitting with a child, sometimes you'll try to help, you know, when they have all that emergency stuff happening, they want you to actually put your mask on before you hit your child.
Yeah.
And most people don't have that mindset because they want to save their child first. What they don't realize is that in that time they try to save their child, all the oxygen might be gone and they can't even help their child because the child doesn't have a mask on and they don't have a mask on. So they should have went for themselves first and helped the child second.
Yeah, I once heard you say would you always say fill your cup first or fill your plate first and then move on sort of thing?
Well, yeah, I think you sometimes do need to be a little bit selfish and look after your own. You can't help everyone, man. But it is good to have a giving nature, and that's what this show is all about. But in terms of everyone, like Gary said, he just can't. He can't even help his own brother. So you're probably not giving them the best service by actually helping him because you might do it to 10% of your ability.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call that selfish, man. I would call that self-reliant. You know, being self, you know, he's preserving himself and he's preserving his legacy. And we need to. You know, we need to take these moments and figure out, all right, right now in my life, what suits me better? Where do I need to fill that space with me? Or can I give it away? And we all need to be selfless, but sometimes, like you said, we all need to be selfish too, to be selfless to get to that point.
Yeah, I think that's a great little takeaway if anyone's going to take something out. It's just like, giving's great. I love giving, and I think that should be one of your priorities, but it also comes to a stage where you have to look after yourself and you just can't help everyone.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's my little takeaway point.
I like it, Tristan. Mine definitely would be one of the quotes. I also like what he said, man. You know, you have to invest in yourself. It reminds me of a quote. I think it was Skinny Vinny. He said, you have to pay to play. And then AJ goes,
it's investing in yourself.
Invest in yourself. You must know who you have to become to get to where you want to go. And like Tony just said, if that vision, if you could see the vision, it's too small. You shouldn't be able to see the corners, the size.
Oh,
yeah, so it's a good thing.
Thinking big, right?
Yeah, this episode definitely took us down a new road, and it was stoked to share this with you, Tristan.
Yeah, you too. Before we leave, Johnny, just social media stuff.
Yeah, guys, follow me on all socials, Johnny Stofko. Specifically, I'm launching my YouTube channel. Subscribe, Johnny Stofko. I appreciate you.
Definitely. I'm Tristan Cannell, Tristan Cannell Fitness across all my social media. So, guys, get in touch. If you have any feedback or guest requests, please send them through at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. You know, if they fit with our current roster, it's one of those things that we're always looking to make sure that all our guests kind of connect in some sort of way. And at the same time, we can bring some great value to the people that listen. So,
and anyone listening who has sent us emails that either one, we haven't been able to get back to, or two, we haven't been able to fit you on the show. Tristan and I run this whole thing by ourselves. There isn't a team behind the scenes. So we're just going to apologize. We got a busy plate. We got a busy stack for everybody listening at home to continue to bring the A game. And if we can't get you on now, it doesn't mean that we can't get you on in the future. So we say thank you.
Definitely, guys. We're always looking out for new talent. That's what we want to do, bring people that haven't been heard before. So always reach out. And we're always, you know, very willing to consider anyone that really can, like I said, really hit that requisite that we love.
That's right.
All right, Tony, next on Johnny, next on the show, we've got Chris Guillebeau, so that should be another one. It's a bit of a shorter interview. We're bringing this one out on Friday, guys, so stay tuned for it's a short one, but it's short and it's sweet, and it's
very only, impactful.
Yeah. It's a 45-minute interview in 20 minutes. Yeah, it's quite interesting the way Chris has got a lot of experience in, I think, media and media interviews, and the compact, I actually liked it. It was quite a bit of fun.
Yeah, very consolidated.
All right, Johnny, I will check you on Friday.
Peace, mate. Brother.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.